I am from Oregon. My name's August Seneke. I'm here in town for a trade show. I'm a tree serviceman. I've come from a logging background and from mostly residential tree work, removing tricky trees in awkward places around buildings, power lines, and whatnot. And I've invented a few things to help that process along, which are in the trade show here in Charlotte, and that's what I rolled into town for. So I thought I ought to make an appearance here if I could, since there's a local congregation nearby. I'm hoping there's no squirrels today. I heard about the squirrels. Praying for no squirrels, because this has been a really solid service. I really appreciate the sermonette and the story. I heard the story last night about the lady out in the woods. Man, that's just something that goes so well with the sermonette. And interestingly enough, my example today that I'm going to show a video of, it's a skit video that I made. I wanted to show the world that my young daughter, who's 11 years old in the video, she cut down a tree too, like the Paul Bunyans out there. And so I made this skit, and my wife's in the skit, and my wife pretends to be the customer that has a tricky tree, and she needs it cut down, and my daughter is like the professional arborist that's going to show up and take care of it for her. And I make these videos for YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, and that's what really made the platform for the stuff that I sell that's in the trade show and stuff. So it's just really made in for fun. It was kind of a feel-good video. It was just a fun thing for us to do. We do skits for church camp, UCG church camps, and I'm just kind of wired up like that. So we're playing around with that stuff. And after I made this video, I noticed that there was some real interesting stuff in it for sermon topics. You know, it seemed like it made its own interesting outline. So in this video, you'll see my daughter Caitlin, my wife Heather. You'll see me in the vid, but don't be too alarmed. I'm pretending to be another guy in the video. He's a famous tree person, a famous celebrity. You probably never heard of him, but in my world, he's really famous. And he has long hair, so I had to wear a wig. I don't want anybody to think it's my real hair. But yeah, you'll see him, and he's so famous, and the joke is that when she talks about him that he's her ground man, which means she's the hero, and this big famous guy is just the support guy for her, so that's why it's kind of funny. But yeah, if you'll show the video number one, then it's about 7 minutes long, watch that, and then I'll come up and talk about it.
Well, this is my tree. Just suddenly died one day.
Well, ma'am, it doesn't look so sudden to me.
What do you mean, one day I looked out here and saw it was dead?
Well, ma'am, you see that the whole left side died first.
Oh, yeah, that might have had something to do with the fire.
And now look, the rest of it's crispy. Are you sure, ma'am, that you haven't done anything that impacted the tree since the fire?
Not a thing, it just died one day.
Well, I estimate there's at least 10 feet of dirt and mulch stacked up against this tree.
Yeah, you're right. We did try to make a flat spot here. Well, you seem kind of young. Is there any reason why I could trust you to do this?
Well, my ground man is Reg Coates. Hey, Reg, can you move this limb?
Good job missing the flowers, mate.
Thank you.
pull on it. Both hands. Little step. Good. Good job, mate. You missed the flowers. Took you long enough, though.
You're making me late for my yoga class.
You get the royal treatment when you're the tree topper. Make somebody else take your boots off, huh? How many times have you taken off my boots?
Over 1,000 times.
Dirty face, clean money.
Now the rest of it's crispy.
Okay. Into action.
Oh, action.
Okay.
And now look, the rest of it's crispy.
Okay. And now look, the rest of it's crispy. Are you sure, ma'am, that you haven't done something that impacted the tree more?
You'll have to speak up.
Okay. Are you sure, ma'am, that you haven't done anything that impacted the tree since the fire?
Man, that was perfect! Perfect!
I mean...
One more time.
Okay.
Well,
I estimate there's at least 10 feet of dirt and mulch stacked up against this tree.
Is there any reason why I can trust you?
Hey!
My ground man is red.
Yeah, but you say it with like pretty good confidence.
Okay. Well, my ground man is Reg Coates.
Yes, guess she has a point. Does that mean?
No, you have a point. You're talking to her.
I have a point.
She has a point. You're talking to her.
Oh.
You got a point there. Does that mean you'll be protecting my flowers?
You got a point there. Does that mean you'll be protecting my flowers?
All right. And then you say, you know what I mean? She makes a point. How do I do British?
She makes a point, mate.
Okay, I'll try it again. She does make a point, mate. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Ah.
Fear of oneself you know, fear of fainting, fear of blacking out, fear of losing your mind up there.
He talks slow.
Eh, she makes a point. You know what I mean?
That's not it.
Kind of rationality to it.
Okay, enough.
What do I look like? August Haneke?
Thanks for that. Watching that. I know it's a little awkward. Watch my home movies. But when I made the video, like I said, it was just all for fun. But for a skit for the YouTube channel. But I started seeing a theme there, a millennial setting. We just came back from the feast. So it jumps out at me. If you turn to Isaiah 30, you'll hear this every year at the feast. Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. This is the New King James Version. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers, a subject here today, teachers, will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And I think it's interesting, did you wonder how it was filmed? Like, was it a drone or how? Where was the camera coming from? Well, this is what jumped out at me when I watched, after we made the video and put it on YouTube, is wow, this novice doing a dangerous job is being instructed to go right, go left, from literally right behind her. I was in a bucket truck and I was right behind her because I'm daddy, right? I'm hovering helicopter dad who need to make sure she follows every single detail of what and what not to do from a life of experience. So that's where I was. I'm the teacher. It says, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. I was not in the corner. I was right there with her. That's where I was. Verse 21, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or the hand or whenever you turn to the left. And how do you think, did you guys think she did pretty good? Wasn't it amazing? Okay, this is what is amazing to me is, I mean, I'm not crazy, I'm not dangerous, I'm not reckless, I'm not a dodgy American, you know? I just knew she could follow directions well, which is what we are to do. Is just end up being the point of the message. I always get ahead of myself. But that's where we're headed, is to follow directions well. I knew she could do it. I knew I would be right there with her. And it was amazing. That video right now, it has like 61,000 views on the internet, on YouTube, and 700 comments of professionals, you know, all the Paul Bunyans out there that are like, man, I can't believe it. And all the people that would be afraid to try that are like, wow, 11 years old. And so I'm impressed that she was able to do it based on the experience of somebody else, based on that teacher, that voice right behind her. Her experience was nil. She didn't have it. Besides climbing, because I've had my kids climbing for years. She climbs the rock walls and stuff. But I took her out all day before that. At the end of the video, it was getting dark. But I took her out all day before that and gave her instructions on the chainsaw and had it, you know, keeping two hands on that thing. And she fell about 8 trees out in the woods, you know, learning how to make that notch that she used. And so I was right there with her. It wasn't totally fresh, but still, that's one afternoon, one day of training, and she's up there showing how it can be done with good instruction. So I thought about that. I thought about my own experience, and I was reminded of Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. So my experience definitely qualified me to teach that little niche. Right? And I was able to prepare her for the discomfort that she would feel. You know, the spurs that you wear on your shins, they kind of dig into you, and you're going to be in an uncomfortable place, and you're just going to have to do what you're told and keep going. This is an example about life here, really, if you can try to see it, not just what I'm talking about, but kind of compare it to your own life and your own walk. But my experience prepared me to explain it to her and have her do it is the main point. And it's only after you've allowed yourself to be taught, so years of enduring pain and growth, that you're qualified to teach. Teachable people really make the best teachers, which I think is interesting. And I've found that at camp, if you give responsibility to someone who has somewhat of a grasp of anything, whatever it be, and you make them a teacher of it, then they learn more somehow. And it's quite amazing. But this is our time period to be taught. Teachable people make good teachers. This is our time period right now to be taught. Your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. So if you've never, I looked up teacher in Strong's, in the New King James Strong's version, and the definition was wild. I didn't expect what I saw there. I thought it would be something different. But if you look up Strong's for teacher, it says properly to flow as water, to rain. Transitively, it says to lay or throw, especially an arrow. A teacher is comparing him to an arrow. It's comparing to pouring rain. To point as if by aiming the finger to teach. So you're like pointing to a target is where the word teacher comes from that they use there. So how does this pouring, this casting, this shooting, this sort of, how does that relate to shooting arrows? What's rain got to do with arrows? Like, man, I have to look into this. So continuing in Strong's, it says archer, cast, direct, inform, instruct, lay, shoot, point. And I'm thinking about where I'm pointing her, to the right and to the left. Go this way. Walk in it. This is the goal. We seek first the kingdom. We're aiming for a goal, and we're to teach that. And then I thought about rain. What do you do what's rain got to do with it? You're cultivating. You're watering for growth. That's teaching again. And we live in a dangerous world, and we have a big advantage having God's way. If we're cultivated up in it and if we follow it, we can get quite an advantage for Christian living in the world. Strong's also refers to 2 Chronicles 26, verse 14 and 15, which I thought was interesting. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 14, where it's talking about Uzziah. Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor. Now remember, this is a parallel scripture that they're referring to where the word was used from teacher. And they're talking about these weapons, slings to cast, there's the word cast, to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So teacher is synonymous with shooter, somebody who's trying to hit a target. Somebody's trying to get that arrow in the right spot. Somebody's pointing somebody to the right spot. Somebody who's receiving instruction for the right spot, pointing to a goal, basically the bullseye is the kingdom. And it reminded me that I did a message years ago on Psalms 127. And again, this had my daughter in it. This is one of my little children. And if you read Psalms 127, 3 through 5, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are these children that you point out, that you cultivate, that you raise up and send out. So are the children of your youth, arrows in the hand of a warrior." This warrior is a shooter, somebody who brandishes something, a weapon to hit a goal. "So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them, and they," the children, "shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." This is indicating that you are made confident by your teacher, that you raise confident children that speak with their enemies in the gate. They're not necessarily always with a heavy hand either. They're using their words here. I used to be a Head Start teacher, and I would tell the children, "Use your words." It's a little better than throwing a chair. So the point here is receiving the instruction it makes us confident, makes us more qualified for what's ahead of us. And when you have children and you're raising them up, you're pointing them towards surviving and thriving in life, and you want them confident. We want to be confident also. I like to write myself into the story. So that means not having such a heavy hand with teaching either. I'm reminded of, the zeal of the new conversion, where knowledge puffs up and you might come on a little too strong with your zeal, and you might you see parents fighting with each other at Little League games because they're kind of living a little too vicariously in what they wish they would have done. But it's only after we've allowed ourselves to be taught that we're qualified to teach. And I really only have 2 points in this message, and I'll get to them right now. The 2 basic points are, number one, trust yourself to be taught, and 2, teach skillfully and lovingly, not with that heavy hand. You know, archery, when you draw an arrow back on the bow, if the spine of it is too weak, it'll break from the thrust of the string. So those children are compared to arrows, and we're sending them out towards a goal. And each one is different. Raise up in a child in a way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. There's an individuality there to children, children are all different. And you could push somebody too hard and cause damage, just like that arrow. Kind of a sideline there, but so in part one, we'll talk about point one: allow trust yourself to be taught. So who is our teacher? John 13:13. John 13:13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well." So was Jesus qualified to teach? Is the point. "And you say well, for so I am." Hebrews 5:8, it talks about that qualification. If you turn to Hebrews 5:8. "Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest." So even the Messiah was following directions. "Not my will," he said, "but my Father's will." He was perfected through the things he suffered. That's always an awkward one for me. It's not that he wasn't perfect. It's just that he was made even more qualified for what he was about to do. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So I think about the high priest. That just means teacher. That just means number one, teacher. That means like supreme teacher. And that's our instructor. So I'm not trying to insinuate that I'm her supreme teacher or anything. I'm not trying to draw that parallel. But she did trust me. I had been where I was sending her, but I had been there before, and she could trust me and follow my directions and get amazing results. Amazing results, really. I mean, that's quite a thing. Trust me, having been there myself. Her success was a direct correlation to her trust and her willingness in her teacher, in following my instructions, trusting me that I wasn't going to get her harmed. So, I mean, she even wanted to take the helmet off. Well, Dad, this helmet's uncomfortable. I'm like, you're not taking off the helmet. You're wearing the helmet. You're not running the chainsaw with one hand. Maybe someday, but nope, two hands on the saw. And actually, if you could show just that, there's a little 1 minute video I'll show you sort of the voice behind her that was going on in this. How she could get that success. You're gonna have to hook the rope with your elbow. Step up a little bit. Don't advance your climb line. It needs slack in it to hook with your elbow. Get the saw. Hook the climb line with your elbow. Yes. That was perfect. That looked like a pro when you did that. Cut the one off on your left side now, that little stub and that little poker thing. Good. Next one, up on your upper left. Cut it off. Flush. Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, she's following directions so well that she was able to do this with success. And again, I was right behind her, and it was her trust, and it's our trust in that Jesus has gone before, the elder brother going before, that should allow us to follow more deliberately, more to the in the detail of the voice of the Spirit, basically, to go left, to go right, to stop, to go forward, to listen to that voice now. And I've had, the reason this is amazing to me is because I've trained a lot of people in my career. And she was one of the easiest ones ever, and it was because she didn't have any thing to unlearn, right? So I'll take a big burly guy and try to walk him through it, and he'll have so many ideas about how he thinks he should do it himself. You see the parallels? That it's nearly impossible to teach him. And I'm afraid he's going to kill himself. And sometimes they do harm themselves just by not taking instruction. But if you have a person that you're teaching that will just trust where you've been, that you know the discomfort, that you know the right move at the right time, and they will do it based on your experience, then you can just get amazing results. And with God as our teacher, with God as our instructor, if we'll listen to that little Jiminy Cricket conscience and go the right way, then we can get amazing results. Really, God, you look great when God shows up with you. So she was able to look good because she had a good instruction behind her. If there was no instruction, that would have been a disaster. And it's like that way for us. Without the instruction, there's going to be a disaster. I was talking about it this morning with some members here. Drama will be the result. So I'm reminded of the Israelites not trusting, saying in Exodus 14, they wouldn't allow themselves to be taught. They kept saying, "You brought us out here to kill us." They didn't believe in the leader. Again, in Hebrews 5:8, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered, gone before us and suffered. In this way, he was qualified to be a head teacher, the perfect high priest. And I've been far above and beyond the discomfort and pain and injury and mistake and stuff that I asked Caitlin to do, which allowed me to be qualified to teach that particular thing. And the parallel, of course, I'm probably overstating it, but the parallel is our teacher is qualified to lead us. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not, I'm going to go too fast, huh? I'm supposed to say the scriptures like three times. So get ready for number two. Hebrews 4:15. There's three. For we do not have a high priest, a teacher, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tested. That's the life of that particular niche of the world, of my life, of tree work, of logging, of pain, of injury, of ambulance rides and whatnot that it took to qualify me. I was in all points tested. And when I sent her there and I was there with her, I knew that she'd be close to, like when you see the top come off, that is, you're close to that action. There's nowhere to run when you're tied to the stump. When you're out in the woods falling a tree, you get it going. You know, if you're scared, you can run. You can run off, pick a direction, hopefully the right direction. That's a different story. But when you're up on a tree and you send the top, you're there with it. And I explained to her the noises she would hear, the cracks, the groans, you know, what it was going to feel like, how the top is going to push. So when it tips, it pushes the stem that you're on, you know, and then it launches and you're on this little carnival ride. And if you're not prepared for that, if you don't expect it, you might make a mistake. Fear might lead to, there's another parallel, fear might lead to bad choices instead of just calmness, because he said it would be okay. I know what it's going to be like. He's been in all points tested. Here we go. Let's do this. Let's take this life on. I sent her there, told her about the discomfort, the closeness to the action, and there'd be nowhere to run. And he sends us, if you turn to Matthew 10:16. It's not, the parallel's good. She was up in what some might consider a precarious place to go without instruction. And what does it say here in Matthew 10? We're not just called to do nothing with our lives. It says here in Matthew 10, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." That sounds dangerous. That sounds like we got to stand out. We got to be sheep in the midst of wolves. Sounds like there's some danger involved. But again, we're to be confident because of who the teacher is. It's comforting that the teacher has been there and has overcome the world. So if we allow ourselves to be taught, James 1:22, allow, trust yourself to be taught. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, If we allow ourselves to be taught, then we're qualified to teach. Then we might have something worth saying. We might be without too heavy of a hand able to shoot that arrow and point someone in the right direction. Joshua 1:9. Confidence. Confidence. Sheep among wolves, but confident. Going to dangerous places, living in a wild world. I often think about this time we live in. I think about what it'll be like later when we're on the other side, when we look back and we'll say, I met you, I knew you, I was with you. You helped me through this wild time when there was like literally a dragon that roamed and just crazy stuff everywhere, danger at every turn. We're going to be able to look back and think about our relationships and who helped us now and who we helped. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Right behind you, right above you, right beside you, even the Holy Spirit within, guiding, instructing. It's quite confidence building. I remember telling her, I'm right here with you, Caitlin. Well, with Caitlin, I didn't have to, she didn't really, she's pretty stoic. It's quite amazing. I'm not quite so stoic, but I can be. I'm working on it. And we can too. We can follow that instruction always better, ever better. Picture God right there behind you and above you. 23rd Psalm. This really intrigues me in the 23rd Psalm where it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And if you do a word study on that, follow is pursue. That puts quite a different meaning to it. Where God is literally, like again, I'm behind and I'm instructing. He's right behind. He's pursuing you. That it's a beautiful thing to think that you can be pursued. Like he's not going to let you slip from his hand type of thing. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, shall pursue me. If we mess it up, terribly bad. It's just because we're not paying attention. We're not taking this all of this help. I'm Caitlin's father. I pursue her. I want her success. I want her to be successful. God wants us to be successful in everything we do. He wants us to be good ambassadors, to represent him well. So who is your father? It would be the natural question. And if you say, God's my father, then you can quickly answer, he will pursue me all my life. If you have children and you're trying to cultivate them and grow them up to success and confidence, you understand the beauty of the relationship when you compare God, when you say, God's my father. I feel much better about that because of the love I have for my children. Children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. These are your teachers. But why? I skipped ahead. I didn't tell you that scripture, but I'm sure you've heard it. So I can keep moving here. Verse 3, that it may be well with you. This is why. Your teachers, your father, your God, if you're a parent, you're not giving instructions because you brought the Israelites out there to kill them. You want it to go well with them, that it may go well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And it says in verse 4, and you fathers, teachers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. I thought it was interesting that I was bringing her up the tree. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, which is the perfect transition to point number 2 here. Point number 1 being allow and trust yourself to be taught. If you can do that, then you can teach skillfully and lovingly, not knocking people over the head with. I remember when I was a little kid on the school bus, I would love telling the little kids there was no Santa. And I was unapologetic. I just couldn't wait for the kingdom when you could find out I was right. You know what I mean? That is not skillful, loving teaching. This is not a teachable moment with Santa there and the kid on his lap or whatever, you know. This is not a teachable moment. In point number two, we're going to talk about teach skillfully and lovingly. The qualified teacher has been there and done it. And so because of that, there's some dynamic understanding to the message that he's going to want to convey for the purpose of raising or promoting confidence and happiness in the person being taught. It says, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Remember? Hebrews 5:8. And by walking the walk, because he walked the walk, he can talk the talk, and he can teach the walk. The experienced teacher teaches skillfully and lovingly. Remember, I was pointing this way, that way, this limb, that limb. If you compare that to God teaching us, he's basically watering and cultivating you. Remember that word teacher means to water, cultivate. He's watering us. The good teacher will be cultivating, not just trying to club you with the truth. Not saying we would do that. I think that we've all come a long way been in the church my whole life, and so I've seen some growth in the church and in myself, obviously, and in our methods. But the good teacher is basically not showing off skills. The good teacher is teaching. They're not bragging about knowledge. You're teaching skills. And I'm reminded of, I had a math teacher when I was in college that he was so good at math, and he loved to flex on you and show you how good he was at math. And I couldn't learn a thing from him because he was always showing off his math skills. And it's the same in my industry. There's a lot of knot tying and stuff. If you're trying to teach somebody how to tie a knot, it's good to not just blaze it out in front of them so that they can be impressed about how fast you tied it, because it doesn't do anything for them. It's much better if you break down all the little moves, the nuances of each thing you're doing, and explain it for the purposes of their growth, not in saying, hey, look at me, I'm a great knot tier, which is, you have your reward. It's just silly. You know, it's no good at all. The mature teacher isn't glorying, but rather sharing his joy. I'm reminded of church camp. I've been working at the church camps for about 20 years. And what we do is we try to engineer success. We try to cultivate a successful environment, the zone, we call it. My friend, Mr. Aratola, he's in the Medford area. He recommended that I read 1 John 1 to explain this concept. So we'll go to 1 John 1 and read verse 1. 1 John 1:1. We, that's disciples, now teachers, proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. And who's that? That's that head teacher, that's the supreme teacher that we're learning from. That's our teacher, the one that's gone before, whom we have heard and seen. Remember, he's been there and done that. And they've seen him, so now they're qualified. They've gone where he's said to go. They've been through many things. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. This is hands-on experience with the greatest teacher, which is qualifying these teachers. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us. He taught us. And we have seen him. And now, which denotes now meaning, what are we going to do with this? This is a qualifying time. Basically, the disciples went to school, when that's what a disciple is. He's a student. And this is your school. This life now, your impact on your families, the church, the community, social media, whatever it be, this is your school. This is your test area. What will you do with your time? This is your time to be taught and cultivated and to grow and become experienced and qualified to teach, basically. That's what the kingdom talks about, was where you're there helping out. I see a squirrel. It distracted me. I wasn't going to let that happen. Okay, I'm glad he's not an albino squirrel. That'd be really distracting. Let's see here. Continuing in 1 John 1, verse 2. 1 John 1, verse 2. And now testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, even he. He wasn't sent to do his will. He was sent to do the will of his Father. Even Jesus himself was teachable. That's our teacher. He became teachable. He was humbled. He was perfected. He was already awesome. But even he had to be teachable to be, according to this, qualified for the job. And what's the job? Is teaching us. We proclaim to you, teach you, that we ourselves have actually seen and heard. That's experience. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we are writing these things so that you, here it is, this is the attitude of the loving teacher. This is the not bonking people on the head with the truth part. This is the skillful and loving point two teacher here. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. Back to the knot tying. If you're trying to teach somebody, it's supposed to be trying to teach somebody how to tie a knot, and you're just showing them how good you are at it, there's no joy for them because they never learned the knot. They didn't learn a thing from you. You were just bragging about all the stuff you knew, basically. So we are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. The purpose of teaching is cultivating, pointing in the right direction. And it's such a beautiful experience when you see success generated by loving instruction. And I saw her just with that little success of you know, climbing a tree and topping a tree. It was just so impactful for me with the feast. The concept of the voice behind you, and it just really sprung into a lot of joy is what it sprung into. So God has a calendar, and the feasts are marked on it for us to see and learn from. We just came back from the feast. And he calls us to gather experience from this qualified teacher. And I think it's always interesting to the, what's that, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. That's right on track with what we're talking about here today. So we have to allow ourselves to be taught. And if we teach, we should teach skillfully and lovingly from our experience. And God has a calendar date that we can't see. And it says on his calendar, it says, Messiah returns. Jesus himself said, only my Father knows when. It's on his secret calendar. Imagine the joy you can skillfully and lovingly share there when you get to be that voice behind someone. But until then, in closing, I just want to make this point. If we listen to the voice of the Spirit, like I said, I call it the little Jiminy Cricket conscience. It's better and bigger than Jiminy Cricket. But if we'll listen to that voice of the Spirit, oftentimes we might make that guy quiet down, and we shouldn't. But if we'll listen to that voice, go left, go right, stop, go forward, close mouth, no social media post right now, not engaging with that. If we'll listen to that guidance and we'll practice being taught, then we'll be qualified to teach.